A Savior Who Is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
It's one of those kind of claims. It's not even really an argument. It's just kind of a claim. That sounds so good coming out of someone's mouth. It sounds smart. It sounds enlightened. It sounds like it opens the door for all sorts of new freedoms that people may have been restricted from in the past, in particular women and men. It sounds open-minded. That gender is merely a social construct. It's just something that is maybe necessary in the past, but just an idea that we've come up with that may be outdated. In fact, this whole idea of the difference between the genders sounds good, but does it hold any water? We'll be responding to the claim that gender is merely a social construct for the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, November the 26th. Joining us, Pastor John Wegener. He is pastor of Cottage Hill Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and he's author of a blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Gender is Social Construct. John, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be on again, Todd.
You say in a nutshell the claim that gender is a social construct is nonsense. What do you mean?
Well, as we hear this, I think it just sounds like nonsense. But we begin by understanding that first that God created us male or female, and in that when we speak about a male, we just expect that person to be a man, and the female likewise to grow up to be a woman. The idea behind social is a construct. As a social construct, suggests that we are born into this world gender neutral. That is to say that we are a little boy that comes in this world should not be inclined to do things that a boy that we stereotypically think of for a boy. Likewise for a girl, to do those things that a girl normally does. Those things are imposed on them by society, by their parents, by other factors that they experience early on as children. And that's it sounds good, like you said in your opening, but I looked at this great book, a book by Miriam Grossman, as I was looking at this, and she she just called it Genderland, like Wonderland. You go to Wonderland with Alice, and everything is turned on its head. Same thing in Genderland, where you expect boys to be boys and girls to be girls, with all the parts that go along with it, to be that way. But it's not. It sounds simple to us, but then when sex educators are teaching this to the kids, you throw in this idea of gender, and all of a sudden it becomes a thorny issue where you could be a boy, but then you could be growing up to be a female in gender.
Okay, so you've kind of opened the door there that the claims here are a lot more, or they're a lot broader than merely the simple idea that gender may be a social construct. The ramifications, play some of them out for me. You mentioned one just there. Well, you may have been born a boy, but that doesn't determine your gender. What other avenues does this claim, where else does it take us?
The part of the question I was answering when I was looking at this was the impact that this would have on vocation. The fact that the kids are being taught this in school and are, you know, just across the board wherever it's being taught, it does lead to a lot of confusion and misunderstanding. So the vocation is severely the understanding of vocation of mother and father is severely damaged, especially as we understand it as Lutherans, in the vocation of father, mother, husband, or wife. It seems to me that the question that was posed to me was right on, where this social, the gender as a social construct suggests that we are imposing this idea of a woman or a wife being submissive to her husband on that particular sex or gender, where it's this is something that's biblical and it actually is part of God's beautiful created order.
What you mentioned that the creative order, what does the claim of gender as a social construct do to the concept of a created order? Explain first what you mean by created order.
Well, God created man first, like St. Paul speaks of it. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read, pull it up here. I've got it marked here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. As you read through the order there, the male, Adam, is created first, and then Eve. And as in that discussion, we hear that that God wanted to create a helper for the man. And so that's where we see this created order, that God has given us this beautiful order. Even though we do hold that male and female are created equal, at the same time, there has to be this some sort of created order that God has established, and that's what we hold to.
So it's not only a chronological order or a cardinal order,
right?
But it's also a distinction between the two, right?
Definitely, definitely. We see this headship spoken of in Ephesians chapter 5 by St. Paul, where the wife submits to the husband as to the Lord, And likewise, the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. So the order is beautifully laid out there by St. Paul in Ephesians, how God has established marriage and the distinction between husband and wife and the distinction between male and female.
Now, the other claims that are made there, you mentioned vocation. Can a concept of vocation survive if someone says, I'm no particular gender, that'll be determined as I grow up, or I'm no particular gender, that can change as my life changes?
Can it survive? I don't, you know, we can throw all these hypotheticals out there, but absolutely not. I'd say we cannot simply just let it go that direction and say, well, gender is what it is, and the woman will be... It just completely redoes everything that's orderly and throws everything out of whack in regard to marriage, in regard to the concept of mother who nurtures and takes care of the children, the role of the father in instructing the children in the Christian faith, that particular headship that he carries as the father of the household. If we completely redo everything and throw in this idea that gender is merely a social construct, then we completely do away with vocation.
You discuss gender vis-a-vis sex a little bit in the course of your article. I actually had a guest several years ago suggest on the air that the concept of gender has done us more harm than good. We ought to talk about the sexes rather than the genders, because gender is too generic of an idea. It's not tied to biology. What are your thoughts there?
I totally agree with that. I tell you what, when I first was looking at this, I was so confused and disoriented by the terminology of sex and gender that I had to go diving back into the dictionary and look at how it was done in the 60s, and then the latest dictionary terms and on the internet and things like that, and it just threw me. So I totally agree with that. It would simplify things a lot if we just stuck with the term sex.
You found this, and I want to read it, and then if you would explain it to us, because this does boggle the mind a little bit. You found it from a 2001 monograph published by the National Academies. Sex is a dichotomous biological variable. Humans are either male or female. Gender is a continuous variable. Gender is socially constructed. Humans can be mostly feminine, mostly masculine. They can be anything in between. Why is that problematic?
Well, you hear in that definition there, gender is socially constructed, and that's the exact idea that we're talking about here, how somehow gender is a variable. It's you're born neutral, and everything that's imposed on you by your parents, by society, anything that's surrounding you that can influence you one way or the other determines your gender. Whether it can change as you're getting older. You can be female in gender when you're younger, and then become male in gender as you get older. That's just confusing. And then gender, as we've been speaking here, you know, gender is socially constructed. It's just not socially constructed. When I talked about Miriam Grossman in her book, she presents just a very compelling case showing that in fact, gender is not socially constructed. So the problem with that definition is, I see it throughout the definition, it's not a variable. It's not socially constructed. It is something, like you said earlier, with the definition or with the two words, sex and gender, let's just stick with the word sex. And if you're male, you're male. If you're female, you're female.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break on this Monday afternoon, November the 26th. Pastor John Wegener is our guest. He's pastor of College Hill Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and he's author of a blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Gender as Social Construct. We're responding to that claim. I invite your questions or your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at IssuesETC. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and on Twitter at IssuesETC. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and on Twitter at IssuesETC.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc., IssuesETC.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
St. Paul's Cathedral of London, with the hymn Tell Out My Soul, The Greatness of the Lord. It's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week and 365-day-a-year sacred music station. And as we approach Advent this Sunday, you're going to notice a change in the music that you hear there 24/7. General music for the Pentecost season that has now come to a close this last Sunday with next Sunday, the beginning of Advent. It will take on an Advent flavor. The church's music throughout the year, according to the church's year at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen anytime and absolutely free, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Pastor John Wegener is our guest. We're responding to the claim that gender is a social construct. How do we talk about this? And this is pervasive. You're right. This is being taught at every level of public education. It's being reinforced in spades in secondary and higher education. It's presumed. You're quite right. How do we talk about this from a kind of sensical standpoint without sounding sexist, Pastor Wegener?
I think that we can definitely speak about this without sounding sexist by just simply going to the place where they are trying to approach it from, at least where that's where they're claiming, that's with science. What have we learned from scientific research, and what does that show us in regard to this idea of gender as a social construct? And I have a couple quotes from Grossman's book. Today we know that the Y chromosome is teeming with units of DNA that are unique to males. There are distinct male and female blueprints created from the moment of conception. Previously, they thought it was genetic wasteland, but now it's. We know that when boys are born into this world, they are predisposed toward boy activities, toward action, toward physical movement, and then the girls are predisposed toward playing with dolls and more passive behavior.
So the actual observational science, in spite of all the claims and the presuppositions made by some within science, mm-hmm. bears out the basic biological fact of a determined gender rather than gender as social construct.
Right, right. The psychologist, Dr. John Money, in 1955, introduced the concept that humans develop an internal sense of maleness or femaleness separate from chromosomes and anatomy, and that infants are born gender neutral. Without that predisposition to think, feel, or behave in a masculine or feminine manner.
Now, someone's going to say at this point, Pastor Wegener, there are people who have, if not from birth, they have from their earliest recollections, a sense of not being the biological gender that they were born. Yeah. What do you say about that?
You know, I wish I would have addressed that in my article, but I didn't really get into it. We have to remember we do live in this fallen world, and you would expect it to be perfect, that a little boy would grow up to feel like a boy, to act like a boy, and do everything that a boy does, and same thing for the girls. But we see that it doesn't happen that way, and we know that there are people out there who are struggling with this mightily. I've heard people say, "I'm a female trapped in a man's body," or this kind of talk, and you feel bad for them. But the fact is that we live in this sinful world, the fallen creation, and we definitely know that. That Satan can do those things too, where he just mixes us up and leads to all kinds of confusion.
Is it as simple as simply acknowledging, as we all should, that while God has created an order, that sin has, at least at some level, fundamentally brought disorder into that creation, and so such exceptions should not surprise us?
Yeah, I think definitely. With the It's almost like there's nothing, like Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. These kind of things, as we consider gender as a social construct or any kind of of mixed up craziness that's going on in the world today, we just recognize, boy, there's this common problem that we have, and that's the fallen creation, that we live in a world of sin and death, and you look around and you just see it everywhere.
We've talked a bit about approaching this subject without Scripture, and that, as you said, simply look at the solid observational science and what it says about the connection between biology and gender. How do we approach this subject with Scripture?
My favorite place to go on this, and I deal with it a lot with when I'm working with couples preparing for marriage, I go to Ephesians chapter 5, as I spoke about earlier, where St. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Now, I realize this I'm speaking of it from the direction that as we hear gender as a social construct, this idea is being thrown out there so that we can get rid of this silly idea from the Christians saying that wives should submit to their husbands, or let's do away with that word obey. I've heard that a lot. Or this word submit, let's just get rid of that. And so that's where I'm kind of jumping at it from that direction, so that we can recognize that there is a distinction between male and female. And if you're talking with a Christian who believes Scripture is the inerrant Word of God and is still somehow espousing this idea that gender is a social construct, then I would take them here to show them that there is a distinction, and we see a wonderful order that God has created.
Why should the church be especially vigilant at this time when this idea is pervasive and very popular and often goes unquestioned against the idea of gender as a social construct finding its way into the thinking of the church itself?
We must be vigilant in this issue. It was eye-opening for me just to read some of the stuff I saw and came across. But the church needs to understand this issue, that needs to approach it and teach God's created order for various reasons. We see how this kind of idea creeps into the church. We have we're ordaining women pastors, it's a different issue, but still kind of flows that direction. Of course, in the vocation of mother and father, as we spoke about already, if we're not doing a very good job of teaching God's created order to our children and in the church, then we will see all kinds of problem in what should be an ordered marriage. And we can look around and see all the different things that are going on in marriage today and realize that it is very problematic.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, is it really as simple and as we've discussed it, and is it something that we ought to teach simply to our children from the time there, from as early as possible?
Definitely. I think we should definitely teach our children the Scriptures, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, show them, read to them Genesis 1, 2, 3. I mean, just go through the text with your children, discuss it, help them to understand the Scriptures, and so you can teach them those. And then as fathers and mothers in your families, teach your children right away by your actions in the house how you should behave. And this is, Christianity is so wonderful in that Christ gives us forgiveness. And so when we do see things falling apart within the house, children can see how their parents forgive each other and also how parents forgive their children, and then even sometimes where children forgive their parents when the parents sin against their children. I think it's all teachable moments right there in the house where you can bring your children up in a wonderful atmosphere teaching them this particular order.
Pastor John Wegener is pastor of College Hill Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and he's author of the blog post for Steadfast Lutherans titled Gender as Social Construct. Pastor Wegener, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Todd.
You will find this article written by Pastor Wegener at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Tom Baker about the birth of John the Baptist foretold. And on Wednesday, we're going to continue our series on man's failed attempts to reach God with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's author of that book, Broken: 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. There is a great Wittenberg Trail feature in the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's written by one of our faithful listeners, E. Rutter Wadsworth. She is a Tennessee listener, and she's listened to the program for a long time. But she has a story to tell that is, like many of our listeners, from kind of this crazy mysticism of evangelicalism, where you think the gospel is only for you when you start, but not for you as you live as a Christian, to what she calls, and I love her phrase, the present tense gospel of the Lutheran Reformation. You can find it in the Wittenberg Trail feature of the latest Issues Etc. journal. If you're not a subscriber already, go to our website, issuesetc.org. It's absolutely free. We will send it to you. There's a big red button on the homepage. It says subscribe to the Issues Etc. journal. Click there, enter your email address, and you are subscribed absolutely free to the Issues Etc. journal. In that latest issue, there's also an article that I have written called Vote for the Other Guy, about the Christian in the polling place. That's the Issues Etc. journal. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Folks, there are 5 weeks left in 2012, and we're $63,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.